800-588-2300-EMPIRE.
Today.
800-588-2300-EMPIRE.
Today. 800-588-2300-EMPIRE. Windsor, I love you so much. Today. Yeah, that is my 13th reason why we are all like that black man. Just sitting there trying to make money and just going, ew, why do FUPAs exist? John Doyle from Heck Off Commie, why do FUPAs exist?
What's a FUPA?
Harrison Smith from Band Off Video. American Journal, you said, right? Yes, American sir. Journal, amazing show.
Thank you.
Here on Slightly Offensive for the first time. We welcome you here. We love you so much. Oh. Why do FUPAs like that exist?
Jiggle them around for the camera, obviously.
I mean, that was, I don't know if we could get the video on the screen for a second. Like that man, that black dude is like, I mean, I've never, you know, tried to be with black men like that, but I imagine he's not the worst looking black dude. I imagine has a good selection of women. He's a pretty Chad looking guy. And I hope that's like his sister or something, because if it's not, I feel very bad for him because it's so gross that it's funny.
Which part is the FUPA?
The FUPA is the fat.
That bottom part?
It's that bit, yeah.
Yeah,
it's the bouncy part of the snowman.
It's the sack of fat on the crotch that gets so big it becomes its second stomach.
Well, to reiterate the point that I made actually when I debuted as a black person expert on this show, black women are the most obese demographic in the country. 80% of them are either overweight or obese. And, you know, you see stuff like that and it's like, yeah, yeah.
You know, this show's gotten to the point where we start things and we decide things as we go. And then I rethink my entire life and I go, okay, where are we going with this? But I mean, that's what it is, guys. And that's what it is. At that note, we have a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about today. And the fact that apparently now the NFL, which is gay, you know, the NFL is gay.
I heard that. Well, football is gay.
Yes. No, but yes. But the football itself is a homosexual expression.
I just know. All I know is the NFL came out and let everybody know football is gay. And I think they're the authorities on the matter.
Yeah, and
all the baby boomers, you got to just assume that they're all the victims unwittingly of a prank. And like, you've got all these like just scorned millennials, like, let's just call it gay. And they're just like, I guess it's gay now. Go Cowboys. And they just like don't even think that maybe they should just stop watching it because it's so paused now.
Yeah, men sticking their hands between each other's legs and little tights and stuff. It already has a little bit of undertones, but men are men. The boys, guys will be dudes. And then they come out and they want to make it gay. All right, go ahead. But we found out, too, that now football, people are allowed to take days off because of offensive emails. We're also going to talk a little bit about mask enforcement and some serious things that are going on there. We're going to look at the past about Clint Eastwood actually being based and roasting some Indians. And on top of that, it turns out that the social distancing never happened in the country because STD levels have remained the same through the entire pandemic in New York, regardless of all the laws and the rules that we weren't allowed to fiddle each other's diddlies.
Clint Eastwood's funny. Like the last four movies that guy has made have just basically been him like driving around old, like in this old truck and just looking at like the consequences of mass immigration and post-industrial technology and just going like, and then just like continuing to the next destination and then like befriending some like minority kid being like, see, we're not all racist. Don't kill us.
I have to say, I have never seen a modern Clint Eastwood movie.
They're pretty epic. They actually are. They're very good.
I mean, John made him sound pretty good. I actually would want to go see that.
Dude,
if that's the conclusion, John.
I tried to explain this to my, I was like, the whole film Gran Torino was made for my Uncle Rob. Like, it's literally this guy driving around and they're these like young punk kids and then they like, you know, disrespect him and he just pulls out like a 1911. And he's like, oh, you punks and just stuff like that. It's like,
I think he actually used the racial epithet, which we can't say here on, like he just uses the words. And
I don't know if he said the N word, but
no, I think he said like the G word. Or whatever. Oh, I don't think we have to bleep that, actually.
He went through the whole palette with all the, like, the Asian ones. I mean, he was a zipper head.
You're making her job hard. You're making her job hard.
Because she herself is the producer, is what I was going to say.
On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have explosions of high-intensity 8K graphics like that in our face. So we always give it to our first guest here. Where is he? Harrison, this is your first explosion of confetti. How do you like it?
It's beautiful. You know, I've seen this on your show, and now as the recipient, it's everything I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A glory and an honor.
A glory and an honor. A glory explosion in a closet and not in a hole. I'm Elijah Schaefer, your top, I don't even know what we're at, 19 host, 18 host. We just keep getting bumped back with the canceled shows on the network because this network loves us so much. I'm joined by the lovely, the beautiful host of her own podcast too, Rapid Fire, Savannah Hernandez, who's here in studio looking amazing. We're all, everyone's simping for Sav. They're here. How are you doing, Savannah?
Good. I'm simping for Harrison today because I love him. Not in a sexual way though, just in a I freaking love Harrison way. So I'm very excited that
you're here. In a sisterly way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know when you have
and I'm going to move around a lot to make her job as difficult as possible.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I love it, Harrison. I love it.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. Every time I tell someone I love them, I need to clarify it's not sexual just so they know. Like I'll be like, hey, right. Dad, I love you. Not sexually, not in a sexual way, but just I love you. Because you know that when it's, you know, we have to make sure we clarify that with everybody. Savannah, don't worry about it. There's a lot of boys out there that wish you would love them in a deeper way. But of course, they need to repent and turn to Christ. Before we jump into that, guys, obviously you saw our last episode, the Alex Jones episode, crushing it, doing very well as we expect anything with good Alex Jones to do. You know, we're involving paintings, you know, because obviously in this life, things are not physical. They are digital and you can lose them at any time. This is true. I actually lost my Instagram at one point that had all the pictures of my mom who passed away. Now, I'm not trying to get so dark, but it showed me how important it is not just to have digital images, but to actually print them off or to do something even deeper and more meaningful is to have them painted with the most quality, high intensity format ever, which is like physical paint. This is why I got to talk to you about paint your life. So it doesn't matter if it's something like sad from the past that you want to remember, something happy that's going to happen that you want to have a keepsake. Maybe it's a surprise, an anniversary. We've lost the art of painting, but Paint Your Life has not lost the art. Essentially, what you can do is you can send any of your pictures that you want, and they will translate them to a physical painting of the highest quality. It's amazing. We had ours painted with Alex Jones as like some sort of a what is it that he is technically?
He's supposed to be like a hairless cat.
Yeah, Alex Jones is a hairless
Harrison,
cat.
Harrison, you know what picture that is.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of a manatee look he was going for.
Like a manatee like posing sexually. I don't know what it was, but it's amazing. And obviously that might not be your pick. It could be for a birthday or anything. And you can choose from your painters. They come in as little as 2 weeks. That's what shows you it's the quality. They don't do any rush jobs, but they do take your time importantly. And so if you want to get your pictures translated to a real world painting in the best and highest quality, right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting, 20% off, and free shipping, which is amazing. To get this special offer, what you're going to do is you're going to text the word offensive to 64,000. That's OFFENSIVE to 64,000. So that's be 64,000. So 64,000. And you'll get the offer. You can celebrate the moments that matter most. And if you want to check that out and get your offer, you go to paintyourlife.com. And I want to let you know this disclaimer that terms do apply to this, available at paintyourlife.com/terms. That's paintyourlife.com/terms. So again, if you want to turn this into an amazing moment, text offensive to 64,000. Get the special offer today and see the terms at paintyourlife.com/terms. So obviously we're here and I just want to say this, Harrison, you drove up from Austin.
I did.
You've been down there. Your career has been skyrocketing.
Yes.
Celebrating this.
A meteoric rise, some say.
Well, what's been going on? I mean, and people who aren't familiar with you, I mean, you're working with Alex, you're working with Owen, you're working with the crew down there. Mm-hmm. Savannah abandoned you guys, came here, but look where you are. You're here. What's been going on since we've seen each other last?
What has been going on? Quite a bit. I got a new show called American Journal. See, I started working at InfoWars about 4 or 5 years ago as a cameraman and an editor. And then I just slowly and schemingly wormed my way into my own show. And they haven't figured out I'm a fraud yet. So far, so good. We're cruising along. I remember when Savannah joined and she was just an innocent, wide-eyed journalism student fresh out of college. Ready to take on the world, and we beat that optimism right out of her.
Oh, yeah.
she fled.
She's like, I'm gonna kill. And then Savannah's there. Savannah's like, every day it's like Elijah, make sure I don't kill someone today. I'm like, all right, just calm down.
She well, knows. It was just it's more dangerous. Too of like I was starting out working for Alex Jones, not knowing what the three branches of government were, and not knowing anything about politics. So it's like, imagine you don't know anything about politics, and then Alex Jones is the person who gets you started, and you're like, what the hell?
Trial by fire. Yeah. And that, but that was the great part, is that Savannah almost daily would come and bust into my office and ask me some wide-reaching, expansive question that there's no way I could answer easily. She's like, so Israel-Palestine, like, what's up with that?
Can you just, like, in, like, 2 minutes kind of explain that to me? Or
it's like, all right, take a seat.
Why does 13% of the, like, okay, well, you can talk
Savannah,
about this.
What websites have you been on?
No, I know that.
The FBI?
Know, and I know, it's like she's Fed posting. No, Savannah's great. Savannah, have you missed Harrison? Have you missed? I know you have.
I miss Harrison because, like I said, there's just things that happen. I'm like, you know, some people are saying that right now in regards to the supply chain, it's happening because of the government. Like, Harrison explained that to me. And then he's always, you know, take a seat. Great. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about, you know, what's being hidden in the media right now. And it's great.
And John, and you love Harrison, too.
I miss Harrison, too. The last time I spoke to Harrison, I was like, hey, buddy, I saw one of your tweets where you claimed that the technology that we currently have access to is given to us by aliens in the 1950s. Yes, what's the red pill there? And he was like, well, that's the red pill. And I was like, well, was there an explanation? Not really. I was like, good. I don't want one anyway.
Yeah. That's what I was. I felt like
I believe it regardless.
I felt like I disappointed you. You were like, oh, I can talk. Like, what's behind that? It's me like, gee.
No, that's basically it.
No, it is true. And you know, and that's why a lot of this stuff is pretty insane. And I'm happy we're all in the room together, because I think there's a new wave and a new age of younger people, not just young people, but even some people developing, that there's this new evolution happening. Like, and I talked about this before, but like, even someone like, we were talking to Ali Stuckey last night, talking to Dave Rubin, people that you know, would normally be considered, oh, the establishment or this or that, that are kind of breaking out of even the red pill, that are going, things are a lot deeper, a lot more intricate, and Alex Jones was right.
Yeah, of course. That's the overarching message, like, that we're all learning by force.
Yeah, over the years, it goes up. It's kind of like, it's almost like as the science changes with COVID, so the amount of rightness Alex's changes over time, where it's like someone's like, I agree with half he says, and 10 years later, I agree with 75%. Now Literally. You're like, what has Alex not told me yet that I need to know?
No, it's right. Like all of science throughout history has been catching up with what the Bible says, and analogously, all of politics is just catching up with what Alex Jones has been saying.
Right, because Alex Jones hasn't been changing his story. His story's been the same. Everybody else has been moving that way. But even, I mean, I can't even remember. I was listening to some sort of mainstream podcast, and they're talking about MK Ultra, like, super casually. They're talking about Bohemian Grove, super casual. Like, the type of stuff that's just casually thrown out that everybody knows now, that, like, the royal family are all...
pedophiles?
It's going to be on YouTube. Okay, can I...
That's fine, yeah.
All right, yes. The royal family are all vampire pedophiles, and everybody just knows that now, and it's just out there and open. This used to be the type of stuff you had to go to very questionable forums on the internet 5-10 years ago, and now it's just common knowledge.
Yeah, you'd come home from the theater, you just saw Monsters, Inc., and then your brother would pull you into his room. What do you think that movie was really about? And you're like, well, I don't know. What did Randall really mean by the scream extractor?
Right.
Wow, yeah, we're there already.
You don't know. Monsters, Inc., documentary. Actually a documentary.
Maybe actually on the technology note, too, you probably are more familiar with this because you were a youth pastor, but there was something in the Bible. God basically made like a promise that he would never allow his children to be exposed directly to like demonic influence. Like you could never see a demon or you could never hear a demon. And so that's kind of what I was thinking.
Where does that say that?
I don't know. That's why I was hoping you would know.
I don't think so.
I've heard that was like a thing that like there was some promise that was made. And that's why you never like see a demon or hear a demon directly unless you're like possessed by one. But with the technology thing, I was kind of thinking of it in terms of that. Like when you look at a screen, you're not seeing a demon, right? You're seeing like pixels, but they could still resemble that like demonic force and have that influence in your life. Or if you hear things that are demonic, you're not like hearing the voice of a demon. You're just hearing like, you know, a simulated frequency that's making your eardrum vibrate or something. And it's like, you look at things like TikTok, which are algorithmically designed to like keep you just focused on like, you know, young girls doing provocative dances.
Digital cancer.
Yeah. And it's like, that's what it is. It's just the demonic influence is so widespread in our society because they can use technology as that medium.
But I also, like I, but like we also, I, trust me, we can see demons. I promise you that. It doesn't say that. I think what you're thinking of is that we're not going to be possessed by demons. Like they're not going to.
You don't believe in possession?
No, once we're given to God, like demons are not going to possess us once we give our hearts to God and we are protected by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can see demons, definitely. There are people that go out there and definitely do this stuff. I mean, a lot of people who watch the show don't even believe in Christ or don't even believe in this stuff. But genuinely, I promise you, we can have another discussion another day.
Are you telling me heathens and blasphemers are allowed to watch this program?
I know you're not a Catholic.
Until the executions begin.
I know you're not a Catholic, but there was a Catholic saint who had a quote something to the effect of, the best way to address a heretic is to drive my sword through his stomach.
Well, I guess that would also include me, technically. Yeah. Technically, that would include me. But I will say this, on that note, I do want to talk about this stuff, because obviously we are talking about the seriousness of everything that's going on. And things are so backwards, and obviously if you don't understand the reference of my 13 13th reason why. Essentially, that means to self-delete. I came across some very weird things on TikTok last night. It's, of course, that's what the show has, I think it's devolved into.
Devolved or evolved?
Devolved. Oh, it's evolved into. And I get kind of upset because obviously we live in a backwards world, and you've heard a lot about how women are equal to men and women are like men. And, you know, I believe this might be, I don't know where this happened, but I did watch an arrest yesterday take place from two women and one smaller man. And I will say that as the world turns and spins, the reason why I want to show videos like this is to remind people that just because of what you're hearing about women being the same, about trans women being real women, about there's not secret satanic pedophiles running the world, like, that's fine, and we can all say that, right? We can all, like, agree and laugh and be like, yeah, trans women are women. But then, like, when we need to just show you TikToks about what trans women look like and let you decide for yourself, here's an example of how women can do the same jobs men can do and we're all equal. And then you see two women trying to do the same jobs, two officers try to arrest not the biggest guy in the world, for sure.
Skinny little guy.
Yeah, and they, two women, struggle to get this man under control. First of all, I got to say props to him on the nice shoes. Love the shoes. Very cool stuff. And he runs away because women simply cannot be good police officers.
See, my favorite part is the very end where they literally don't even try to chase him. They literally just, like, give a couple, like, half-hearted little jogs towards him and then are just like, ah, call the man. Call the men in. We'll get this. See, some people see this. They say women shouldn't be police officers. I have the opposite reaction. I see a video like that. I say all police officers should be women.
I agree, actually.
Like, that's how I want all of my arrests to go. I just want to be able to be like, I don't feel like going to jail right now. Goodbye. Yeah. Just
I've been practicing on my wife for 3 years.
Hey, now.
Yeah. Just kidding. The current police in this country exists as the enforcement of a state and regime that is hostile to people like us. So, yeah, if they're all women, like,
it'll be fine. Yeah.
Or if they're all, like, transgenders and you say, like, one word and it just defeats them and then they just cry and then you just run away.
What is this called? Because before the show starting, you guys were talking about this, like, this sort of, like, is this like an anti-pill? Like, what is the name of this? We're just kind of like, you take like the idea where it's like, yeah, like, obviously this ruins the police force, but then you go, the police force should be ruined.
Yeah.
So, well, like, what is that called when you're like, actually, let's go the opposite direction. Let's replace all the men with women. What is that level of thinking? Cause you were talking about that with other things too, where it's just like, let's just go down that route. Let's take things where you want to take them, but let's not stop. Let's go all the way there.
Yeah. I think, if you take any leftist policy and just take it to its extreme, it becomes outrageous and ridiculous. I mean, whether it's, you know, women in police force or women in the military, it's just take whatever they want, that whatever they, you know, think is a good thing, and just give it to them. they get what they deserve, right? So, you know, trans people in the military, I think all trans people should be forced to join the military.
I think trans people.
Maybe only and all trans people can join the military.
What do you think, Saf? How do you feel? Would you want to be a police officer? You feel like you could take on? Actually, Saf probably could.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a police officer because I don't agree with, you know, impeding on people's rights. If I was a cop, I'd be like, nice, 120 on the speedometer. You go, guy. Go faster.
Yeah, I think Saf's like, could I be a successful police officer following the rules of conduct? No. But can I jump through the air at 100 miles per hour in Chinese style Mortal Kombat and decapitate them? Then I could be a good police officer.
I've never seen Savannah stop at a red light, and then she's always like, why are police always on my case?
Again, red lights.
Red lights are suggestions.
Thank you. Red lights are just the nanny state, guy. If you're not smart enough to be able to see for yourself when you should stop or go, maybe that's just natural selection.
She literally tried to articulate to me why seatbelts are what led to the COVID lockdowns. She was like,
a gateway drug to the face mask.
It was literally like that meme that people were circulating when, like, everything first started. It was a guy drunk driving, and it was like, first they took this from you. And then it's like,
guys did see all that picture or those pictures from back in, like, what, the 60s when it was like a nice white dad drinking a beer, driving his kid, and the kids in the back,
the
no seat
days.
Belt, no car seat. And everyone was chilling. Everyone was having a great time.
Dude, I know. I love that. That's what I was talking about, like anti-humor, where, like, I was sending you that meme too, where it was like, showing NASCAR and all the cars were crashing, and it was like sober tards on their way to cause 75% of all accidents. Like, it's like people are like, you know, drunk drivers cause so many accidents. Have you ever seen how many accidents sober women cause? So, I mean, like, the reality is those, I love those arguments. Yeah, I do get it though, where it's like drunk people cause accidents. Bro, almost all accidents are caused by sober people. Like, just relax.
So only drunk driving, you're saying?
Well, I mean, right now the ratio is off. I'm just like,
yeah, the same way that you have to wear a seatbelt or you get pulled over. You know, there's like the little ding in your car. You should have to have like an IV of like whiskey or something going into you or something.
Like the breathalyzer. It forces you to focus more when you're drunk, you know?
Dude, right. I knew someone that was so against seatbelts, they had cut their seatbelt and put the thing eternally
so it didn't ding.
Yeah, I just have the seatbelt, like it looks like the seatbelt, and you just click it in.
To make it dark, back when I lived in Whittier, there was a 76 gas station. I watched someone die. I've seen two people die in car accidents from not wearing seatbelts, actually, which is weird. But there was a parked car in a 76 gas station. This person pulled behind, and they didn't have seatbelts on because they were parked, theoretically. But they got hit from behind, and the woman ejected out the front window, and her head cracked open on the sidewalk, and she died. So I do happen to believe that seatbelts are a net positive, but I don't believe you should get a ticket for not wearing one.
Okay, thank you. That's the difference. And I want to defend myself in this because everyone's going to be like, oh, Sev, you don't wear a seatbelt. I just think that it's ridiculous that the police are allowed to pull us over in our private property on roads that we pay for with our taxpayer dollars and give us a ticket.
That's the argument. Public roads.
Condoms should exist. I just won't wear one.
But that's the thing. It's like, you're not saying the thing too is it's not like you're, let's say, a well-adjusted normal driver who just happens to feel as though the government should need to, like, you know, tell you how to be safe. You are the most, because it was articulated so well. She has the incompetence of the Asian driver with the aggression of the Hispanic driver. And so she's like weaving it out of traffic. You know this, you've driven with her. Exactly. So if anyone needs to be wearing a seatbelt, it's you.
Sorry, but I have seen men that drive the exact same way that I do. So this isn't even just a woman thing.
No, it's not picking on you. But the best part about it that I like about her driving is where the most woman part about it is not the driving. That's sexist. I'm not sexist. It's the I'm a victim for constantly getting tickets for just like blowing through every type of law
that exists. Why are the police allowed to do that? Actual crimes going on and you're going to waste my freaking time pulling me over for a ticket,
bro? Or having to get the phone call. I just went up on the curb and popped two of my tires.
Look, victim mentality.
Savannah missed her calling in real life as a cast member of the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So she's making do with what she has now.
I know. And one of those guys died. So that's all I want to say. No one wants to talk about this though. Is that's why when Savannah's like wants to get her. By the way, that's why you got to like support her podcast and stuff because she wants to get her.
So
little,
I can pay for my speeding.
She wants to get. I think you want to get a Jeep, right? That's what you want to get.
Yeah,
like a V6.
Well,
too?
I just need a bigger car so that way when I jump curves, I don't pop the tires.
But the accident immediately before that though was when you tried to hit a turn at 40 miles an hour, and if you have something with a higher center of gravity, you're just gonna roll.
It doesn't matter, John. Leave me alone. Let me live my life, damn it. This is America, okay?
All right.
If I want to roll my vehicle, that's my right,
The Sav Simps are going to be in the comments, leave her alone, John. You don't understand. If I don't, then she's going to die and you're not going to have anyone
to
simp for anymore.
Then I won't have to pay any more taxes.
And I would say this.
Thank God.
Between you and John, who has a higher chance of being kissed by Savannah? Probably not you, sir, I have an interesting idea.
So what if we had a situation? What if we had a situation where it was like every year you pay the state government like $1,500 and you can drive as fast as you want?
Yeah, you know
that's
who got that idea from? You know who got that idea from? Me.
That's literally not even true.
Yes,
that is a thing too in Texas.
The 635 Speedway under the bridge.
Dude, that's so much fun.
Amen.
I mean, if you're getting pulled over all the time, Sav, I'm sorry. It is your fault.
You're pro police then? Is that what you're telling me, Harrison Smith?
No, I'm pro.
Disgusting.
I am pro committing crime outside of the vision of police.
I'm pro not getting caught.
Yeah, not getting caught. So.
Dude, I'm really big on.
Yeah, it's not that we're not speeding. You just get caught because you're bad at it.
I drive an average of like 105 miles per hour. This is Texas. Yeah. I really do.
You can literally look at your average speed in your car.
Yeah, it's like 105. So I understand that. Even like my car warns me, like it's like your tire pressure should not be going over 80 miles per hour. The problem with the whole thing with your driving, Sav, is that I just get scared because you're not driving a Jeep. So support Rapid Fire. That's what you gotta do. You gotta go support her and like get her a Jeep.
Go sign up to my local so I can pay for my speeding tickets.
Her insurance is out the roof. I know. She's gonna get her license taken away unless she can afford it. I'm sorry that I actually walk the walk.
I'm not just out here like, I'm pro constitution. No, I live that life, my guy. Yeah. Okay.
Washington crossed the Delaware so Sav could go up on curbs every other week.
No, I know. And this is it. I mean, when you ask yourself, you know, why are women like this from FUPAs to everything?
Thank
another,
you.
another woman, or I don't know if we're allowed to call her a woman anymore. I think she's a they, them. You know, and we really, everyone knows on this show that one of my biggest pet peeves is people who don't respect people's pronouns. You know that.
I do now, yeah.
You know, it's a really big deal here. You know, we're big advocates of the trans community and non-binary community. That's what we're known for in the world, actually.
Oh, excellent. Very good to know.
Yeah, it's correctly using pronouns and correctly delivering Uber Eats orders. That's his hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, and you know, because we're really against cyberbullying. And so what we do is we try to give good examples of what cyberbullying looks like to kids and families on the show to combat it. And so speaking of that, Demi Lovato.
That's like part of a Lovato, right?
Yeah, Demi Lovato, besides losing her identity because of that one guy from Queer Eye that goes around. Do you know there's a non-binary proselytizing agent? Do you know who I'm talking about, Savannah? That one, like, Indian-looking guy? Very ugly dude who's always wearing dresses. He's like, non-binary.
You know, unlike you, Elijah, I don't spend the majority of my life looking at queer things.
Yeah.
You know?
You're welcome.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I was thinking about this earlier when I was watching your show, and you mentioned something, and then I thought, oh, that's like that guy. Because he's the guy that, I think the one you're talking about, said that men should be able to go into women's bathrooms because little girls are kinky, too.
Yes, yes. That's the one.
That's the guy.
So I need to make sure I see who. Oh, yeah. Wait.
Also, please remember that the word guy is also transphobic. So, you know, based on our last episode, please, Harrison, adjust accordingly. Thank you.
Yes.
What's the preferred nomenclature?
We don't know.
Well, the point is that he actually is, Blair told me that he goes around and he gets into friend circles and he tries to get them to think they're non-binary. And that's like, he even got Sam Smith, the singer, to like become trans and non-binary. And so there are actual agents, provocateurs of queerology that go out and try to convert people. There's something people used to call those child molesters, but other than that, they are now actually trying to go a step further and not just make you gay or something like that. They're trying to actually change your ideology. Demi Lovato is so just gone that she went on Kelly Clarkson's show and has lost her mind, that now she speaks to demons and she travels and does a astral projection and is like into satanic stuff. Listen to this. It's pretty crazy. We knew it, but let's watch this.
So I woke up in my room and there was like three beings, and then they were like, do you want to see your planet? And I was like, oh, sorry.
You were like, hell yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, let's go. So I like whooshed out of my room and was like hovering over the planet. And then all of a sudden they're like, you want to see our planet? And I was like, hell yeah. Then I whooshed to this like pink and purple planet that I've never seen, but
yeah, that's just called shrooms, I think.
Well, I think this was the idea of like waking up in the room. It was like the story. It's not exactly drugs. It's just she astral project, because I watched more of what she's saying. Like this is a normal occult practices, like Satanism, of sort of like leaving your body and traveling with beings around the world. And it's very interesting because we always say that these are satanic pedophiles, and or one or the other. And it always comes out that they're into some satanic stuff or they're having sex with children. And I just want to say, again, we're saying it, and when are you all going to believe us? Because there you go. I've said she's satanic for the entire time on the show, and she probably got molested, and I only confirmed one of those.
Now wait. So we've moved from transsexual to transdimensional, I think, is where we're going now, right? So this is a transdimensional world that we're moving into?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Just want to get my pronouns right.
But you see that the beings are involved in this. Like, there's outside influences. I tell people that spiritual world exists. And that's why even last night on You Are Here, when I was talking to Sydney, and she was saying, like, basically, like, you know, the way that you view Muslims is the way that atheists view you. And I go, no, because I have more respect for Muslims and atheists, because at least they acknowledge the spiritual world and know there's a higher power that lives. They just have it wrong. But they're not dumb for believing in a higher power or like believing in the spiritual world. They just have it confused because they don't understand Abrahamic law and the covenant, and they don't understand the lineage and understand what happened there. But it doesn't make them dumb for believing in something. I think it's dumb to believe in nothing.
Yeah, and that's the case with almost all atheists. And that's because I've never met somebody – who was incidentally virtuous, who then just rejected the concept of faith, particularly Christianity. I've never met somebody who would basically be considered a good person from a biblical standpoint, who then is just like, oh no, I don't buy into that. It's always a result of basically pride or like sin and refusing to abandon that because of like this conditioned liberal framework of like me, what I want. Like,
well, I think there is part of that, but it's like, I think people don't understand that the world that we live in, you know, what we consider a good person and bad person is already preordained by Christianity. Like,
yes.
you hear all the time, you know, atheists who are like, we don't need God. We just need the golden rule, right? We just need treat others as you would like to be treated. And it's like, oh, who came up with that again? I'm sorry. Who are you quoting when you mention the one rule that all of humanity you think should be the ultimate rule they all live by? Who came up with that
good
again?
Good point.
And they view it as like low status almost to subscribe to those things, because they look at like, you know, this sort of caricature of like an Appalachian redneck who goes to church and they're like, I was doing my Sidney Watson impression. I don't want to believe in that. That's what like dumb people think. And it's like this pride thing. And that's really just the two types of people. And you can see it manifest on the left and the right. Like whether you want to acknowledge that you could be a part of something greater than yourself and to subject yourself to that, or to prioritize nothing except your own self-expression. And if like you are a religious person, you have to accept that, okay, maybe you're not going to be able to pursue all these hedonistic things that you enjoy. And that's like what it is. When people reject the idea of spiritual warfare or the concept of God, it's always because, well, they want to keep watching pornography. They want to keep sitting around. They want to keep being very self-indulgent. They don't want to accept that there are rules to this life that you've been given, because they're just having too much, or well, what they think is fun, but they're actually always miserable people.
Yeah, no, you know, but that is what I want to say. It's like, that's where, again, this anti, like, humor, anti-pill, anti-everything, where it's like, people want to be like, ha, she's so crazy. She thinks she sees beings. What? Look at her. She's non-binary. She made up her gender and she made up beings. I'm going, no, actually, I don't think her confusion is because she's crazy. I think because the world is spiritual and people are trying to make us lose our identity and to lose what makes us valuable and what gives us meaning. And I think that beings are real. And I believe that she is seeing something that is not just a hallucination. I believe that she is in contact with, like, why are these hallucinations that we all see always the same thing and the same beings and the same statements? And like, I watched, have you ever watched, I think it's Sav, you might know this because you watch YouTube videos too, like something like Journeys from a Trip or something from Comedy Central. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Where they go over like their trips. And it's really interesting because I watch a lot of them, and a lot of people, like, I don't know if you've experienced, like, have you done a lot of hallucinogenics? Have you dabbled in that?
What is a lot?
I mean, have you like casually done like shrooms, acid,
sure,
dipped, anything like that?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, not everybody is like going to see beings and things, but it's kind of interesting. Like, for instance, a lot of people who use mushrooms, not saying every time it's bad, but a lot of people claim they see the devil when they do mushrooms or like demons or a being. That's an interesting thing. On top of that, there are certain drugs too, like when people do like, especially like the 5-MeO versions of like DMT or DIPT or different things, will like see a spiritual being. And an interesting part that I was watching was a lot of these people were actually talking about how, like, at the end of their trip, the conclusion was that I am actually God and that I am. And I go, if spiritual things didn't exist, why would the beings tell you that you're God if you don't believe in anything? And they're like, no, I'm a spiritual person. And everybody who does get into hallucinogenics becomes kind of spiritual. And like, even look at how ayahuasca woke Cernovich up a lot to a lot of like, just that he's a very spiritual being, because we are spiritual and some things do make us realize that, because we're so catered to the physical world that we forget that there is a spiritual being within us, that we are a spirit and we are a body, we're spirit and flesh, and that there is an important aspect. And sometimes we find that out through making decisions that aren't necessarily good for us in the best way. Not that all hallucinogenics are bad or that every use of them is wrong. It's just that a lot of times we're not using them for the right reasons, or we're using them for whatever. Things wake people up. Things do, like, I mean, bad experiences, deaths, like bad things are what make people awake to the spiritual experience. Cause you're going, you know, drug addictions, anything like that. Suicides. Like, I mean, how many people come to know God after they failed to commit suicide? Like, you know,
self-worship too. That's like literally what Satanism is. I've actually, shameless plug, I have a whole video series coming out on this next week, but it's like, that's what Lucifer said to God. He said, non-serve him. He said, I will not serve. I will not subject myself to your objective order. And that's what it is. It's self-worship. That's why even like the tenets of Satanism, it's not like, oh, you must be evil and kill goats. And so it's like, no, just worship yourself and do whatever feels good and makes you happy, because ultimately that's going to take you away from God's presence, because being in God's presence has framework and guidelines. You have to, you know, do these things and not do these other things. things, and people just don't want to do that because they want to be hedonists.
Yeah, witchcraft and Satanism has a lot, is really just narcissism with a couple extra steps.
Yeah, and you know what?
Literally.
And as we get into this, I do want to talk about like losing your identity. We have a bunch of this stuff to talk about. They told us to cool down on this subject, so I've decided to amp up on it. And so, but obviously, as we're talking about this taking care of yourself, one thing that I'm waking up to recently, I know this sounds totally stupid, but it's just like really the effect that your lifestyle has on everything. I mean, from your libido to your mental health, again, to your spiritual awakening, choices matter. And the food you put into your body does. I mean, do you know how many carcinogens and things are allowed in our foods? They were just finding out a study even from Daily Mail was saying that the certain chemicals allowed in the plastics are attributed to over 100,000 preventable deaths in the United States per year. And they're finally admitting this. It's a lot higher than that. But one of the big things is the meat that we eat. A lot of it is full of, you know, of different chemicals. So, the food has pesticides that are cancerous. And that's why you got to make sure you know what you're getting. And I got to talk to you about the Moink movement today. Moinkbox.com/offensive is where you can get all your meats curated. And what's important about this is because you go, why would I get my meats from them? Not only is scarcity coming, but even in the height of meat scarcity, I was still able to get Moink, which is actually important because like they were able to deliver meat even when there was no meat available.
Yeah.
But also their meat is from small farms that have a very strict processing where they don't use chemicals. They have free range, et cetera. And they're not just like, oh, lying about it. Like they use high end farmers. And so the two things, number one, you support your body by knowing what you're putting into it. You know what kind of meat you're ordering, from salmon to pork to anything. It doesn't really matter. Pork's not all bad, everything. It's like a lot of times it's the quality of the meat that's actually bad for you and how you cook it and prepare it. And I don't eat a lot of pork myself, but I love their ribeyes. I absolutely love the ribeyes. I love their salmon. And so while you're taking care of yourself, you're supporting small businesses and you're getting out of the big food industry. So you're not like supporting Monsanto and all these companies. You're supporting small family farms, which is, that's a good company. Anyway, if you go to moinkbox.com/offensive, also you get free bacon for a year. And this is not your little shitty bacon that's small and crinkly. These are thick cut, like smoked. I get Applewood smoked bacon. And I'm going to tell you, adding it with a little bit of chicken pesto with some Parmesan cheese and a bacon pesto chicken pasta. Amazing. Anyway, I recommend it. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste for a limited time. Go to moinkbox.com/offensive right now. That's moinkbox.com. That's moinkbox.com/offensive to get your free year of bacon. Who doesn't like a free year of bacon?
I don't really like bacon, to be honest, but like I like meat. And there's so much misinformation too about like nutrition, because the federal government like subsidizes all of those studies you see about like cholesterol is bad, eggs are bad. And so there's just so much nonsense out there. It's tough for people to understand like how they should actually be eating. Easy points of reference. Just think about how people used to eat before everyone was fat and depressed, and just do that. Like literally overeats everything that they tell you not to be eating. Yeah. Like meat, red meat specifically, butter, eggs, salt. That's all actually very good for you. There's a reason that your grandfather was like this Chad with a jawline that could cut diamonds, and you're like this fat, doughy thing any principles.
You know what's sad is that men are going to start aging like women now because the low testosterone. You know, when old men, they get just like gnarled and like just like statues. It's all going to be droopy and goopy. But it's interesting because this all relates back to what we were talking about earlier with like the spirituality and stuff. You know, phthalates, the things that are killing an extra 100,000 people a year. I did a whole thing on the War Room yesterday about how that's sort of the least of the concerns. 100,000 people dead a year, obviously a pretty big deal. But for every one person that dies, 10 million people are having their perception of reality dimmed and deadened by these phthalates. Hormonal effects affect how you interpret the world. So one thing they know is that lower testosterone means you're less likely to go with your gut. But we all know going with your gut is really just responding to unconscious signals that your body is taking in. And so have a lot of phthalates, or if you mercury is another one, mercury in the water, heavy metals, lower your testosterone means you're not trusting your gut, means it's literally cutting you off from that extrasensory perception that, you know, is an aspect of humanity that we're all aware of, right? You always go with your gut because your brain knows stuff, even if consciously you don't know it. That's literally being cut off. And so when you talk about like spiritual perception or just being able to understand that there's more going on in the world beneath the surface, like part of that, part of the reason why they're, you know, pesticides and the plastics in the waters, because it literally spiritually deadens your perception. I mean, hormones are just the lens through which you see the world, right? Same way that you can see a joke one day. If you're in a great mood, you're cracking up, it's hilarious. But if you are in a terrible mood, you see the same joke, it's not funny at all, right? That's just because your hormones are at different levels at that particular time. The information is the same, the input is the same, but it's the filter through which it's being passed that changes your perception of it, changes your reaction, your interaction with the physical world.
Does it affect men more than women? Because I gotta say this, even though you could say you see men acting more like women and women acting more like men, which is an objectively true statement, but men are still somewhat successful when they act like women. Women are a wreck. Like, if you look at women, like, I just watch videos, I'm like, oh, women, you guys really, you know, all that women's rights really helped you out a lot. Like, you guys all are very happy, you can tell, and you're all on antidepressants and you're all feeling horrible. But of course, you know, they're still fighting and saying the world is made for men. But what's interesting is that, like, there are distinctual differences between men and women. And me and my wife always laugh about them, because we're walking through the airport and we always make these comments like, now you know why I need a husband. Like, I'm like, it's like, how are we getting home? I'm like, taxi. Well, where do we find a taxi? And I'm like, the yellow sign over there. How do you know? Cause yellow always means taxi. Let's go wait in line. And then I get home and she's like unpacking my bags. And she's like, what would happen if I didn't unpack your bags? I was like, my suitcase would be in the corner for 2 weeks. Right. And those clothes I'm not wearing until I find a reason to wash them. Like, that's just not, those aren't being worn. And she's like, exactly. Like, we need each other, but what she needs me for is very distinct. Mm. And it's because, like, I told her, like, I'm like, I don't know, I worked all day, I just want to lay on bed now and drink beer. Like, I don't, like, I just did stuff and I didn't have to think for 12 hours. I just did stuff, said stuff, and did it all. It was subconscious almost. Like I have this innate nature where I can just do what needs to be done to survive, to make sure we have money, that we can buy what we need to do. And as long as I do, and we make money and I'm okay. And unpacking bag is not needed to be. I don't need that to be, but I need money to be. And so you take care of the things that we don't need, but make life better. And I take care of the things that make life possible. And it's like, right. And like, that's my nature. And I sense that, like, that's why I always laugh when people, like, you always have these like guys that like work at Walgreens and like, you know, drink their like shitty protein shakes that, you know, like make fun of the way I talk or things. It's like, bro, I'm an epic motherfucker. Like, I do a lot of cool shit, and I'm sorry. Like, you know, you don't like the way I am. You don't like things about me that you feel like are not being about part of a man. You're talking about innate social masculinity, which is important. And I'm learning about that. And I didn't know about that. And I don't want to write that off completely, but brother, you also need to think that there's more for us to do. Like, we're supposed to be conquering. We're supposed to be taking over things. We're supposed to be gaining influence. We're supposed to be charging forward, being uncomfortable, making people uncomfortable. We're supposed to be men. Like we're supposed to be dudes, and it's not all about how you look or how you sound. Those are important about of society and order, but also, like, what about just your mission in life to not be a little bitch and not to always be working a 9-to-5 under someone, but to design and to conquer, just like you colonized InfoWars, like you said. That's right. I made in
the
and
slowest I made, sense of power.
Yes, the
and we're colonizing Blaze.
That's exactly what it is because everything has become so androgynous. And this is one of those trends where everyone just shrugs their shoulders like, oh, I guess this just happened for whatever reason. I guess testosterone's down 40% in 40 years. So weird how that happened. Like, they don't understand that's been totally manufactured because men with lower testosterone are going to be more submissive. Obviously. Like,
this it's all about control.
They might look buff. That's the key thing, though, too. It's like, you might, low T does not mean you're thin. It does not mean you're not masculine looking.
Your amygdala
looking.
Has shrunk. You don't say no anymore. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
So now it's like everything is so easily... Like, that's why you have this whole non-binary transgender thing, because no one is really quite sure what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman. And so they just kind of like throw darts and see what sticks, because it's more fluid now because it's so androgynous. But it's like men now who are looking for like what it means to be a man, any aspect of like Christianity or nation or anything like that has been stripped. And so now what we're sold is these caricatures. Oh, you know what men do? They get tattoo sleeves and they have AR-15s and they drink this specific coffee brand and they smoke cigars and they drink whiskey. This is what men do. It's like they've got these little props, right? Or maybe they go to the gym, they get big and strong, but it's like, okay, you're like the buffest guy in the office, but you just took the vaccine so you could keep making $50,000 a year. Like, that's what a man does.
Right.
Like, you sold your soul for $50,000.
Well, sad. I'm not laughing. I'm not mocking. I'm just going, it's sad.
But there are innate drives that, and they're different in each gender. And those have been replaced or, you know, just facsimiles of what the reality is supposed to be. Like, I think if like the Xbox and PlayStation and Steam went down for a weekend, we'd have a revolution, right? Because you have, we have millions and millions of men who are getting the satisfaction of achievement falsely from video games. It's literally nothing. It's pixels. It's digital nonsense. So, but you're fulfilling that drive that our society has robbed us of any actual fulfillment, you know, actual ability to fulfill those things. Same thing with women. If, you know, a lot of times it's wanting to have babies and they fill that up with
fucking baby Yoda, dude. They literally commodified women's like predisposition towards nurturing. You've got all these women,
they, like, that's
what
everything little, like, yeah, they like love little.
Ooh, dogs. I love dogs. This is why, you know, it's okay to like dogs a little bit. Like when I see Kez and Gunther, that's her feminine nurturing instinct. But these women who's like their entire personality is just like, I love dogs. They're like 35 years
cats
old.
Cats too.
Yeah. Well, because they cats. Get the parasite from the cat pee. That's why you're not supposed to change litter boxes if you're pregnant.
It's actually so
true.
Funny that you guys are talking about this because I was really thinking about this today and I refuse to get a dog or a cat because I don't want to, I guess, like have that nurturing part of myself fulfilled via an animal as opposed to a child.
Right.
That's true. Also too, some people say air fryers are one of those objects too. Women get like obsessed, like, have you tried an air fryer? Which I'll just say base, air fryers are really good and they're epic. But I do want to say this, let's play an episode with the androgyny called Boy or Girl. I was unfortunately—
I want to make another point on the gamer identity.
I've been
thinking about this for like the last year or so. Cause when you think about like what defines the gamer, it's always like white guys or Asian guys. Like black kids, Hispanic kids, they'll play video games, but you never see them calling themselves like gamers, like who attend the events and stuff.
I disagree.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what I think is the funniest. They, you know, the powers that be, as it were, target things that are actually intrinsically like non-biased. Like, I mean, if you go to a video game convention, it's not all white dudes. It's across the spectrum, and games are one of these things where, like, I can be best friends with somebody who I literally even have no idea what he looks like, where he's from, what race he is.
But you did know that you wanted his mother to get.
I've noticed
right.
Overwhelmingly,
you know, I know that he's really good at driving on GTA, so he's on my team, right?
I did say I hope your sister. We did want each other's sisters to die, but we love each other because we don't care about each other's race.
Like, no, I was there in the MW2 lobbies. I'm a veteran, but I've just noticed that the guys who are most invested in video games tend to either be like white guys or Asian guys, which then made me think about what you said about like channeling that sense of achievement into the virtual world. And you think of like throughout world history, the most successful civilizations have been built by like white people and Asian people. And it's like, now that's just being redirected
into
like video
games. I do want to point that out. Before we even go to the guessing game then, we do have a video here to what you were saying too about like society and civilization. I just wanted to point out that like Squid Game, which is of course which is an Asian show, amazing show, really well done. It's not overhyped. I don't care if you disagree with me. It's an amazing show. And it does not matter if you watched it with dubs or subtitles. People that get like have wars online, like the real people that watched it, it's the same visuals. We all saw it, whether it was an English voice or a Korean voice, who gives a shit.
Does matter because sometimes listening or like reading the subtitles of a show versus listening to the dub is
true.
Different.
Have you ever seen Spirited Away?
It doesn't make you a better person, and people talk about it.
It can be a completely different show, though.
He's
all I have to say.
Coping,
you know what? It says something very deep.
It doesn't
about
matter. Yeah, it literally is. These are irrelevant things.
Doesn't matter.
This literally doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant. And I've woken up to that lie about that about films too. Being married to a dyslexic, where I used to watch subtitles, but now I have to watch dubs, and it doesn't change shit. So anyway, like black people, I watched this video of black people doing white face. I just want to play this for a second and let's talk about the blacks. So that's a black person and that's an Asian white face.
Is that Kez?
Wait, it's Asian.
So they're remaking Squid Game, which is kind of epic, actually. I gotta say this. They're usually red light. Can we just say this? Kez having been raised in Watch this. Kez having been raised in Africa, explain to me, like, this is the difference in our culture. She goes, like, they all know how to dance. And she says, this is why everyone says it's racist. She goes, look at the rhythm. There's no white kids that is, like, even on TikTok that are, like, just suddenly know how to, like, wiggle their knees like that, okay? This is a very wonderful part about black society, especially in Africa, of this, like, this love for rhythm, this love for dancing. And this has been going on for thousands of years. And she says it's so amazing when living there. She's like, they all literally, everyone says that's a racist statement. Like, black people just know how to dance. She's like, I've lived in Africa, and they all just did.
If you told that to a black person, they'd be like, True. Thank you. Like, they're not going to.
How is it a negative thing? Yeah. Like, y'all just have a rhythm that white people don't naturally have. White people do dance differently. That's why white people don't dance like that. It was more like waltz and different things developed because it was still a beautiful art. It wasn't the same. And I said, can you put it back on the screen? And I go, it's so weird, though. Like, they managed to make this video in like 4K and like recreate an Asian thing, like an Asian movie that's popular in America or show. And like their houses are like, I was like, why don't they like fix that? And she was like, they don't care. She goes, trust me, like they don't. She goes, this is what is weird about Western culture always. She said, what's weird about the colonization, that's the reason why it never worked of these places, is because once the colonizers left, the countries fell apart because the people literally don't see anything wrong with that. Like you see something wrong with that. And that house is only there because of the colonized history of that house needing to be there. But once they left, their culture doesn't care about that. Just like when we left Afghanistan and the Taliban took over, she goes, Elijah, you don't understand. They don't care that things look bad. They don't care that their city's falling apart. That's why the black neighborhoods in America look like this too. These people are different. Their values are different. And that's why multiculturalism doesn't work. And that's why colonization didn't work, because they don't care.
Dude, that's what's so funny too. Like these liberal types, they think that they're so cosmopolitan and educated, yet they can only conceptualize the world in terms of like liberal democracy. So like they don't think about like why Mexico looks like Mexico. It's like literally, like I was talking to the Mexican girl. She's like, yeah, they just don't care. Like they would rather just like chill out and just rely. They don't need to like, you know, make everything look like how we make Western countries look like. They like literally just do not care because it's a totally different value hierarchy that they have. But liberal types don't understand that because they can only conceptualize culture in terms of food and music and art. That's why whenever they talk about how great this multicultural utopia is going to be, they always paint this picture of like the street festival and we're going to make some bomb ass Haitian food and some bomb ass, you know, and Nicaraguan food. And then we're all going to have our different types of music and we're going to be dancing because that's what it is. It's just a big street festival to them. They don't take into account how those cultures have attitudes towards religion or work ethic or anything. It's always
to women,
just,
to everything, to children.
It's always just these superficial ideas of like food and music. And that's what's funny about individualism and liberalism too. Is it's like you want so badly to be an individual and to me. And look at what that has done to you. It has stripped away all identity beyond the commercial. So now when you think about what makes you, you only think about, oh, I like these Netflix programs and I like these fast food things and I like this. But then you go and talk to like a collectivist person and you'd be like, I'm better than you. What makes you? And they'd be like, I have a nation. I have a people. And it's like they actually have something to be proud of. It's like you have nothing. You don't even have your history anymore. Well, you just have the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. Well, and that's the hypocrisy or the, you know, intrinsic failure of like the globalist ideas, that it does literally erase cultures. And like you're right about the I don't know if I agree that like they do, people in Africa just want to live in shit. Like
want the American. It's just like the idea of where somebody comes here and they don't want like the culture, right? So it's like it's funny because they'll colonize in ideas. The left will still believe in colonization of ideas. We should all just be together and really live together and like you said, like the golden rule and stuff. That's like clearly white Western colonized ideas. But I'm saying like that was not their goal, was to build those type of buildings and that beauty. And so it's like that was a European's idea of what a house should look like and what life should be like. And so the Europeans left and it's like, well, we didn't care about it to begin with. That wasn't a part of our culture. That's still not a part of us. So our goals are not to maintain this and have it beautiful. She was like, they're not unhappy. That's the key thing she was saying. Like, you think they're poor and unhappy. They're not unhappy and they don't think they're poor.
I guarantee you they're happier than the average like American kid. 100%. Look at them. They're having a ball.
But you know, there are interesting like subtleties where it's like in Mexico, this is going to sound so bad, but like compare like Mexico and Germany, right? In Germany, it can be a disused bathroom in some subway station. It's going to be pristine and clean and everything is going to work perfectly. In Mexico, pretty much the nicest places you go, it's going to be a little bit shoddy. Yeah. Things are not quite going to work right, you know, here or there. Something like Japan, you go to Japan and just like everything is spotless and clean and perfect. And it's like, it's just, you know, cultural differences. It's okay to say that they're different in the same way that like you might say, you know, all these African people know how to dance like this. I got this shirt at a Celtic festival where I went with my wife. My wife is Scottish and they had lessons to teach you about Scottish dancing. And it's the most adorable dancing you've ever seen. It's like if you can imagine how hobbits would dance, it's literally like that. And it's a bunch of like jumping and sort of skipping type thing. And it was like it clicked. I was like, this is how my wife dances. She dances like a Scotsman. Like she dances in the Scottish childish way where she jumps and skips. And like, that's just, you know, she was never taught it, but just intrinsically, that's, you know, where her soul is drawn. And it just makes perfect sense.
That's a good point, because much of our music has been dominated by like Black and Latin influence. And so like our concept of like how to dance properly is basically governed by them. But I remember my sister used to do Irish dancing. And so we'd go and watch the recitals, and it was like, she was really good at it. And everyone was like doing it. But it's like, now they look at that and they're like, that's vanilla. That's lame. That's not cool. I can't even see her ass. What is this?
It's like, just try. Try to river dance. Tell me if it's easy.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's extremely difficult.
You know, it's actually quite funny. Let me close this real fast on my screen. I don't want anyone to see anything that you shouldn't. But it was just like you said, you were talking to me about how basically there was a video of my wife dancing at Ampfest.
The greatest video in the history of recorded media.
You won't be able to hear sound. Can you go to my
screen
here, Seth? Okay, so I have this video of my wife, and she's here, and it's like a little bit delayed, but she's like chilling, and she's like dancing, you know, to like rap music, and she's just like chilling and like having a good time, and the boys are hyped, and they're up here dancing and like having this whole rap party, and I just kept going back to her, because I'm like, she's like, like, you know, and like she's going back, and then it goes back even one more time, and it's like the boys, he's just ripping into a Bryson Gray, totally like having the time of his life, and then...
You know, I was feeling it. It's great.
I know. We can take it off the screen, Savannah.
People get mad at that.
Yeah, people were like really, really roasting it on Twitter, like, no rhythm, none of this. I was like, maybe the value of what she thinks dancing is isn't what you think it is. Where you think it's a perfect time knees, you know, click clapping or whatever you do on the dirt floor. I don't know. It's good. It's cool. I liked it. It's creative. I like that they work with a little and they do a lot. But my wife, to her, dancing is just like enjoying the festivities. And that's why some white cultures, you just link arms and go in circles and just like cross your legs and have
anything.
A good time.
Even on Thanksgiving, if you post a picture of your like Thanksgiving spread on Twitter, Black Twitter will find it and be like, I can't taste this photo. That's why you're not invited. Like, whatever, you know?
But I will say this. No, but you know what? You know what is funny, though, is like you were saying, is that with all this, though, I just meant like it's interesting, though, because as much as like the multiculturalism, that's why I don't believe it exists, because it's just like we see that house and go, they need me to fix that house. And it's like, they don't need you to fix the house. They don't even want the house fixed. They don't care.
Yeah, no, there's a reason. If you go into downtown Detroit, it's like this really nice gentrified area. And then you drive 5 miles out of the city and you see houses that look like they were just bombed. But then you'll see like a Lincoln with like 22-inch rims in the driveway. Like, there is a reason that is happening.
Well, yeah. And I mean, but there's also social pressure that's brought that about, right? And if you go back to the time just before the government came in to help the Black community, to give them a nice generous hand up, you know, divorce rates were lower in the Black community, education was super valued. I mean, one of the most entertaining things is to go on, there's a guy named I wish I could think of the name, David something, he basically was a documentary maker for PBS from like as far back as the 50s. And so he just has a huge log on YouTube of all these raw interviews from as far back as the 60s, 70s, 80s. And a lot of it's about race or social issues. And when you hear like people that grew up in the 40s and 50s in the Black community, like they describe it in exactly the same way that a white person would describe a very picturesque, you know, white picket fence growing up, you know, and these are people in like South Philadelphia. They're like, man, when I grew up, it was, you know, everybody loved education. And, you know, if you talked back to your teacher, you got a whooping. I mean, I think a big part of like what happened in the 60s was that the Black community, which after 100 years, you know, going from slavery to essential parity in a lot of ways with, you know, white people in America, it was like right as they were on the cusp of like, all right, you need to start treating us like regular people now, it was the government like, yeah, sure, totally, we will do that, just sign on this dotted line, just why don't we help you with that, with a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of welfare, a little bit of helping your community. And I think that was the poison pill that has really destroyed a lot of Black neighborhoods.
Yeah, and you know, and before we go any further, obviously we still are going to play those games, and obviously we're talking about the fact that society really has collapsed, because I was even watching videos from Lubbock here in Texas from the 1950s, picturesque, beautiful. Now you think of certain cities as just kind of like, you know, there's a lot of ghetto people. The mass immigration has destroyed the country. Things, cities are violent. It's all part of the chaos and the control. And this is why you have to understand that the police aren't going to protect you. We know about that. Nobody's going to protect you but yourself, which is why I got to talk to you about the Personal Defense Network. Now, obviously, you can go onto YouTube. You can go onto Rumble or something, and you can look up videos, you know, how to shoot a gun or how to fight back or how to disarm somebody. And you're like, they're helpful, but it's not everything that you need, right? The tutorials, you get these like 17 minute intros of people being like, watch my video, buy my shirt. No, no, no. You need experts that have helped law enforcement, that have helped the military, that have helped vets, that come in, that tell you everything you need with hand-to-hand combat, with using firearms, to actually be able to operate as a lethal weapon, not of just attack, but of defense as well, with hundreds of videos, hours and hours of classes that you can take at your own convenience. I use it. You should use it, too. These guys are amazing at the Personal Defense Network. This is no-nonsense personal defense training for you. No matter what you think you know, these guys probably know more. One of you is going to say, I think I know more. Well, find out. See if you actually do. Because we all know that evil exists in our world, and you actually may be the last line of defense when that devil comes calling, you know, to come out to you. And so I will tell you this. It is so helpful for someone like me who likes guns but isn't a gun person. I like them, and I would kill someone, but I want to make sure that, like, not only that I would kill them, but that, like, I'm killing them in a way that I'm not going to go to prison when I do that, and that it's about defense. And also, how could I disarm people? How do I make space? What do I do? These guys have really trained me. If you're a man or you're a woman, you're intimidated to go to classes, but you want that kind of training, Personal Defense Network is now offering a gold membership to you guys specifically for just $3 for the first full year. That's right. It's $3 for an annual gold membership. That's normally costs $135.
I can afford that.
Yeah, I hope you can, because that's what I told them. I was like, God, it's got to make sense. So it's never too soon to be prepared to defend yourself. So check them out. Go to go.personaldefensenetwork.com/offensive. There is the word go there. So go.personaldefensenetwork.com/offensive. If you don't know what that means, or you don't know how to type it, click the links in the bio. Go to go.personaldefensenetwork.com/offensive to get your gold membership for $3 for the first year. Check it out. So obviously we're gonna play a little bit of this. We're talking about the androgyny of all this stuff, like the differences of like how things mess people up. And I came across this person that is I don't know what they are. We're talking about this ties it all together. This ties in food, cities, culture. And I came across this video, and I'm really proud of myself for finding it, because it scared me. If you can play this Burger King song. I don't know if this is a boy or girl. We'll play boy or girl. I don't know. Let's play this if we can.
At Burger King with my Burger Queen, can I get a large fry? She's vegan, please, so don't put no cheese, with some honey mustard on the side. Got my Burger Queen, her Burger King. Yeah.
Okay.
Got my Burger Queen.
This is an ad, right?
Her burger.
No, this is not ironic either. I went to this person's site. This is real. It's not a joke. And I want to say like a couple things. Like, first of all, wearing a surgical mask for health while Burger King, already funny. Number two, why is it that these people always have this? Like the I don't know what that's called, but just like the stance, they're always like, and they always do like this. Like
the phenotype of the spiritually ill.
That's
look
a man,
the way they
by
prioritize
the way, I think.
It too. They'll have the mask on to get validation from everyone as defined by conformity to the narrative. Like, look at me, I'm a good little slave. And then when they're like, no, wait, I want to get the e-validation, they take the mask off so they can show everybody their face on TikTok. Though I do appreciate the like early 2000s pop punk voice. I thought that was good.
That was a throwback, yeah.
Yeah. That was like, remember the What's New Scooby-Doo? Did you ever watch that? Was that after your time?
Calling me old.
Scooby-Doo?
No, What's New Scooby-Doo? It was like this whole new, like, let's remake Scooby-Doo for the young people. And like the theme song was like this, like, angsty, like pop punk. It was like, what's your Scooby-Doo? We're coming after you. It was like that type of singing.
Something corporate. Or...
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, it's like, we made slightly higher frame rate and we colored it less. Now it's modern.
Yeah.
Just like a little bit more digital.
Yeah.
Modern art. No, but I meant like, you look at that. And the reason why I'm going into this is because I went down the rabbit hole, guys. You got to go with me here. I went down the rabbit hole and I got into this person's TikTok and I wanted to understand. I didn't know.
That's my favorite pastime is recapping the night of TikToks that you'll send me from like 11 to 3 a.m. and trying to trace them to each other. Like, how did he get from here to here and then there to there? That's my favorite thing. It's like my version of Sudoku. It's like a logic puzzle.
No, it's true. And I will say this. I was really convicted last night because there's this guy who goes into Amish households, or not Amish households, but people's households that live differently, and records their life. And he went into an Amish family and he was talking to them and he's like, this is the best advice I've ever heard. I think I'm actually going to probably put it on one of my shirts, something to this regard on the new merch, is they said, like, if as Amish people who've lived differently and like your whole life is better than mine, like what's the, if you could summarize the best advice you could give me in just like one sentence, what's the best advice you could give me that would radically change my life, make me happier and better? This is a very serious question to ask them. And they said, fast from the internet, read your Bible. That was pretty based.
It's literally true.
Fast from the internet, read your Bible.
Like, we're so just corrupted by this consumerist mindset that we look down at them as though that, like, they're not as well off because they can't, like, what, get on the internet. But it's like the Amish evaluate individually every piece of technology to figure out if it would serve the community in a positive way. Meanwhile, American society would literally collapse if we didn't get an update to the iPhone every 18 months. You tell me who's more free. It's the Amish. And they make, like, butter and stuff too.
Well, and I think it's so interesting, like, the aesthetic of, you know, modern pop culture is very much just hijacking all of the aesthetic from, like, colonial America. Like, if you go and look at the trendiest Instagram models or whatever, it's all like, you know, these houses are built out of big blocks of stone and whatever. And the only time I've ever seen, like, that type of setting in reality, like this beautiful farm with, you know, animals running around, flowers everywhere, it was like, you know, a farm outside of Fredericksburg that, like, a neo-Confederate, like, separatist and his wife owned. They had no electricity, or, you know, they had solar electricity and were completely off the grid. And it's like as far right as you can possibly get. And it's like they want to take that aesthetic because there's something that's appealing about that and the underlying, you know, moral virtue underneath it, they yearn for, but then they just put it on like a costume and then, like, basically take drugs to recreate their childhood in order to discover the wonder that is intrinsically there that they, you know, are blocked away from.
Yeah, they're like, I love when they go like, man, who would ever have a plantation with indentured black servants? Oh, they live on literally a plantation with indentured Mexican illegals. Yeah. Like, it's like you literally have people, and then it's like, you think... And then you walk around in a society where everyone has credit and they're all in debt and working, and they go like, have you ever seen the plan of the 19, like, you ever seen like the plan of the globalists, obviously, for what they wanted? This is like, I mean, even
a plan.
But I mean, like, have you ever seen, like, part of what they said is, like, to make education longer but teach you less so that you requires more time to be under the state so that you have less time to think and to actually develop and educate yourself so that you end up, like, we're already seeing the expansion of preschools and states and, you know, the state pays for college and your education goes for 22 years to delay the onset of adolescence, to delay, you know, the natural accumulation of what would be knowledge that would help you get ahead, which is why, obviously, entrepreneurs that abandon the system are so much more successful than those who actually try to live into it and get, you know, they always say like, oh, it's so good, I got a $40,000 job. Dude, like, I have friends that are like 20 that make $40,000 a week, like, and they're like doing bullshit things. They're selling cartoons, JPEGs that you can save on the internet. It's like, believe me, like, yeah, no, I'm just saying, like your mind is totally wrong. Nothing against not making a lot of money in terms of the fact that everyone's got their own path. And, you know, there's always breakout stories, but meaning like, dog, that's not the way. You're on a wrong path. You're going to go to school till you're 24 years old so you can enter a job at $40,000. You have missed the plot, my friend. You have missed the plot.
That's why they're trying to circumvent and usurp authority from parents who are like trying to homeschool their kids, because it's like they know that that's how they can get the last line of authority is like the parents in favor of the kids or trying to actually advocate on behalf of their well-being. That's why you saw that one teacher or author or something, I think in Wisconsin, who came out recently and said that like homeschooling should basically be abolished because it's a threat to democracy, because it's the job of public education to instill the values of democracy into kids. And then if parents are saying, no, you can't do that, well, that's actually affecting me because I live in this democracy as defined by just like complete and just utter submission to the state.
Yeah, no, it's sad though, because I was going to say, is like, the more I think about it, it's everything is set up to make you unhappy and to work a 9-to-5 job to try to get out of debt, et cetera. And it's to make you feel like you're trapped and that you can't break out. And that's why a lot of people don't do great things with their life, is because of the risk. And I was actually, I do know this. This is so based. Sav, I'm going to read this to you. You want to hear this?
Tell me.
Because this applies to you too, very much so. But somebody had sent a super chat last night and he sent me an email and he was like, hey, I sent a super chat on tonight's show about leaving my job, my fiance, etc. You were really on the large of the inspiration for me to make this choice. It's been incredibly difficult, but the job I was in was going against my beliefs. My fiance didn't support me spiritually, and I was becoming someone I didn't recognize in the mirror. The way you continue to be outspoken about your beliefs and stay true to who I believe God made you to be is encouraging. I left the Border Patrol and moved in with my family to help support their business and broke the unhealthy relationship I had with my fiance off. I started hitting the gym again and really started pursuing God as my first love for the first time in years. This has been the hardest transition of my life so far, and I like to think you had a significant part in reminding me what it is to be a man of God and to stand up for what I believe. Thank you for all your work you do. I know that looking back, I'll see it was my best decision I could have made for my life. A couple of addendums. I'm sure we all get a lot of emails like that. And I know that you do. I know a lot of people write these things, and it's interesting because what I notice in the emails that are like this, I'm not tooting my own horn because a lot of men do this. Why the men change their life, and good job, man. Like, that's my point, is that there's two points here. Number one, what the men like is other men just living out their calling in a unique way that's clearly not conformed to people. Like, I was talking to Gasson about this today, the vice president, because he was like laughing. He was like, yeah, he was like, in a weird way, your show's just like Ali Stuckey's and everybody else's about spirituality. I was like, except we like cuss and make fun of FUPAs. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, but the people we reach aren't people that already think they're good. They're people that know they aren't and realize that you don't have to become good to know a good father in heaven. You don't have to be perfect to know perfection, that he will transform you, and that men are rough. Men do crazy things. Even David, a man after God's own heart, had multiple wives and murdered people and did things. And those things are not of themselves good, but yet he's still a man that God used, because God used men who took risks. Men who take risks for good also have a flesh and do wrong things too. So those that do good also can do evil. And that's why we are not gods and we serve God. And what I always see is men that are not saying like, hey, I watched your show and I thought you were perfect and I just wanted to be perfect like you. And so thank you for making me good. It's like, hey, I saw that you knew you weren't good and you knew apart from God that there was no reason you should be accepted by him. But because of the cross, because of the power, you've always been openly imperfect and never hiding who you are. But yet I also feel like I can do that too. Like I can do better. I can serve God. I can come to him in the state that I'm at and let him know that I'm not perfect and I need a God. And that's a different thing, is that the men are going, they see that, like, not only do you know you need God, but that God is accessible and that God loves you and that God wants you. And that this is the second part, is that I always see the ones that really make the change are the ones that were willing to really go through pain and sacrifice. Because a lot of the men watching go, well, why isn't that me? Like, I watch this show, or I watch John, or I watch Harrison, et cetera. I listen to Savannah. I think, yeah, your strike's up. We said that. They can watch you again, right?
Yes, they're up.
Okay, yeah. So I watch you. It's like I wanna do better with my life. I wanna be more. I want something. And it's like, what is that? Well, the difference I've been seeing now in the trend of the things. It's like, for instance, like John, it's like somebody who was addicted to pornography for like 15 years had to stop. And you go, oh, that's cool. Do you know what it takes to stop?
I wasn't addicted to pornography.
No, not you. I said people. When they change from your videos.
I was six.
No, when they change from your videos.
Okay.
Your pornography special. Like when they say something like, I heard someone tell me that he watched your video. He watched pornography for 15 years and stopped because of your video on pornography. And I go, do you hear that? And you go, oh, cool, yeah. You just stopped pornography after watching John's video? No. Do you know what someone would need to do to put the systems in place and to really, like, genuinely stop looking at porn after 15 years in that addiction? That's painstaking. Imagine the first week of trying not to look at porn when you've been looking at it for 15 years religiously. Like, to actually change and to do something great, you've got to abandon the system. Right. You've got to abandon everything. You've got to forsake it. Like, this man gave up his job in a government like position that has like tenure and has, you know, retirement, gave up his fiance. You guys can't, a lot of you watching this can't even find someone to date. This brother was going to get married.
Dude, not even that. They'll be like, oh, my phone's about to die, but I don't want to get out of bed to go get my charger. It's like, they're so lazy. And you're so right too. You have to get out of the system, because the system is designed to make you miserable, because that's how they consolidate power. That's why you will never see a leftist person who is like just a normal, confident, well-adjusted person. They're always these miserable people. There's a reason that when you talk to them and try to debate them, they start crying. You think it's because you're so smart and you just epically own them with facts and logic. It's like, no, it's because they're miserable people. And so if you can create a population of people who are in despair and then simultaneously use your consolidation of media power to create these victim narratives, oh, the poor minorities, oh, the poor sexual deviants, then they sympathize with those narratives and you can create an entire like apparatus of power that will not dare deviate from that approved consensus because they don't want to lose that feeling of validation. If they step outside, wait a minute, maybe the plight of the homosexual isn't as bad as the plight of the African American, then they lose that sympathy and people saying, no, it's okay, you're validated, you have problems.
That's what it is.
Well, I think a couple things. I mean, I think just remind me of the poem "If," right? That's like, if you can risk everything you've won, you risk.
Is that your pinned tweet?
It was for a while. I was Well, Trump retweeted it. So look, my
you're
little,
not deleted yet, are you?
To fame. I'm not deleted.
Where do they follow you on Twitter? As you go,
Harrison underscore of underscore TX. And yes, I hate the name too, but I've been kicked off several times, so that's what I landed on. Harrison of Texas. You can search Harrison Hill Smith. But right, so in that poem, right, he talks about exactly what you're saying. Like, to be a man, you have to be able to like risk everything, lose it all, start over without even complaining. Like that's an aspect of it. Also, just independence itself, not having to conform to the group bias or having to conform to the group narrative, is an aspect of masculinity, an aspect of I guess just masculinity, right? The higher your testosterone, the more likely you are to be able to go off on your own way, which is necessary when everybody in the group is stupid and saying the same thing. You need the confidence to be able to stand up and go, mm-hmm. I don't care if you all think I'm crazy for saying this, you're all wrong, and I'm not going to go along with you. And that goes straight back to just everything else we've talked about with the testosterone and destroying everything.
Well, and you are who you hang out with. And I have to say this, though, because this is where I think is also so super lame about the individualistic culture. And I meet guys like this. Like, there's so many guys out there, and I hope I'm not mocking you for this, because obviously we can all fall into this, like the fear of man type of thing. Like, it's very feminist to like want to tear each other down. And men that tear each other down is very weak. Like,
right.
Like when you, like, you know, and they like to say this too. It's like if you, I love this. And society also tries to say that like liking and respecting something in a man is like, oh, what are you, gay? No, it's like men, we build each other up. We see things in each other. We like it. We should tell each other, dude, that's epic. That's a great part of you. And if there's something like where other men that get, this is the other side of things, have like misdirected masculinity where they go like, well, I don't want to copy that person. Bro, if you're around a guy and there's a great part of them that you like, that you want to emulate it. If there's a dude that you see with a body that you like and that inspires you to get fit, good. If you know a guy who's more bold than you in things that you're afraid of and you want to emulate that, good. And do you know how you do that? You start hanging out with people you want to be like and things about them that you want. Stop being and hanging around losers that are tearing you down and sucking out your energy.
Dude, that's literally the dichotomy between men and women too, because men are disposable. But women are perishable. There's a big difference between the two. So men are disposable. In order to fulfill like our purpose as men, we have to strive towards something greater than ourselves and be willing to die for and make sacrifices for, knowing that we're disposable. Some other guy will come take our place. But that's okay, because it is that nobility and honor that will make us be remembered by the men who still make it or whatever. Women are perishable. They might not have that mission. So their job is kind of in a way to just maintain that status and cut other women down so as to have them be at an elevated status for as long as possible. And you can see this reflected through the memes too. Think of the Giga Chad. There's a reason that you will never see a female Giga Chad. Women look at Instagram models and they're like, I'll never be her. She's fake. Guys look at the Giga Chad and just be like, I could literally be him. That's me.
Well, strength loves strength, right? Like, if you're strong and confident, I want you to be strong. If I'm strong, I want you to be strong. So like, we're going to be strong together. It's going to be awesome.
Let's go.
Like, right. Yeah, and if I see somebody who's weak, I'm not like, yeah, you're weak and I'm strong, so I'm going to lord it over you. Weakness loves weakness. Strength loves strength, right? If you're weak, you want everybody else to be weak, so you're not weak by comparison, or you want to have some sort of power over everybody else, because that's another aspect of weakness. But if you're strong, it's like, I don't want to dominate anybody else. I'm not going to be dominated. And I want everybody else to have that same attitude and go, I'm going to do what I'm going to do and nobody's going to dominate me. That's what strength loves strength, and you know, that's another aspect of just manliness in general. It's just like you shouldn't feel threatened by other men. And I think for women as well, it's like if you're a confident woman, I don't know, women can uplift other women as well. It's just they have to be confident.
This is why the corporate office culture is actually antithetical to both femininity and masculinity. And here's why. For two reasons. Number one, women are not supposed to be competing in that way, in that capacity, with each other and with men.
They're supposed to be competing in high heels on a stage, maybe playing the piano or spinning plates.
Yes, there's other ways. But there's other ways. But I mean, that is not supposed to be where women compete and how they compete. What?
I have to pee really bad.
Okay, well, you can go pee. You can.
My back teeth are floating, man.
You can go pee.
Okay, I didn't know if we were going to keep going.
Yeah. No, is it it does that. Number two, when it comes
go
to
ahead, masculinity. John, go pee.
Yeah, throw all the masculinity talk out the window, just start gossiping about
no,
it.
No, is it with the masculinity, the reason why, too, is that what it does is it sets up a power structure to where we're competing, like, with men. They call it, they would say it's masculine for, like, some promotion that's weak that doesn't even bring you anywhere. The real camaraderie, and this is what's really true, is that this is also why I think a lot of creators and people who work in the media space don't really get ahead, is because they compare themselves to other men, which is a very feminine thing. Like, well, they're, you know, they just make more money because, yeah, they're fake, or because they are grifters or whatever. That's a very feminine way to look at it. It's like, I like to look at it. I always pair myself my whole career around different creators I want to be like, different people that I see things in.
Right.
Like I love John's autistic boldness to say things that are horrible but true without giving context, without giving any context, and just saying right. unapologetically. Now, I don't have that emotional disconnect to really say it like that per se,
sure.
but it's a quality I value. And I also value the bluntness to confront ideas that society says you should not, because it's a taboo, saying society. And that's kind of what he says. Now, it's like, same thing why I love Cernovich, or people don't like him. I like how Cernovich, even though we disagree on a lot politically per se, literally does not care what you think about him. And I start noticing this, that there's a lot of people like that, and yourself too. Like, you will say things, even on this show, about phthalates and different things that would be medically unpopular. And I start to notice that I value things in the men around me. So I surround myself with those men instead of being like, well you know, John just, you know, has a cult audience because he's John. It's like, no, I love that, man. That's right, cool. Right. And I want to emulate that more myself. And I want to learn, how do you do that? We have conversations and we grow. And I become a stronger and a better man because I'm not cutting the men around me down. I'm looking at what it is I admire, and I'm trying to emulate that and grow from them and learn from the guys around me. I think we've lost that in culture of, like, dudes just, like, lifting each other up and building each other up. And that's why we have such a good community in the right-wing media. It's small, but we build each other up.
Yeah, and I mean, I think... jealousy is a very pernicious, strain through humanity, right? And you know, I learned this lesson when I was a little kid, and to me, it's sort of a I don't know, libertarian or even just Christian sort of dogma type thing, where I had an uncle who was very into, you know, gender roles, and he wanted to make sure that I wasn't growing up like my sisters. I have two sisters. And so he would go out of his way to treat me very differently, and a lot of times very negatively. But it taught me the lesson of, like, just because that person has something doesn't mean it's been taken from me, right? Just because my sister receives a gold necklace doesn't mean I've been robbed of a gold necklace. We both have started on the same plane, and just because I got a length of rusty chain while she got the gold chain, it was like I needed to learn that lesson as a little kid to go, okay, I should just be happy for her. Aren't I happy that she received this wonderful gift? So if I see another person is successful in the media sphere or whatever, is it like they're more successful than me, or is it like, I'm very glad that his life must be very good because of how successful he is. Like, that's wonderful and great. And if I can help him be more successful, then I'd love to do that too. And you can share that success. But, you know, when the alternative to that is, again, sort of narcissistic or like petty jealousy of just like, if they have that, it means I don't have it. And so therefore they've stolen from me. And that you can extrapolate to everything else we face.
And that's what it is with men. Cause I know we'll wrap it up here in a second. Cause I know Savannah's got to go sign her new lease. And I promised her I'd try to get her out of here, but I knew we'd go a little longer today because, well, you're going to go long when you have the good boys in the room. And of course the lovely lady Savannah, as always. But I will say this, that is the point, is that instead of comparing yourself like the feminist and cutting people down, just acknowledge, be like, yeah, that this is what's really freeing. Like, that guy's dope. And I'm going to be that person's friend, and they don't get with, and we're not exactly the same, but I want to be around men who don't get with. I want men who act like men, and men, like, I don't even care if you're a little more feminine, a little more masculine. I don't care if you're a little smaller framed, bigger framed. That's not what we do. We're not women. We're not like, but he's got small arms. No. Do you have the aptitude and the realization to make it in life? Will you do what you can to do it the best you can? And when you make mistakes, to own up to them and figure them out. Can you just forget about your mistakes, which is part of being a man, is like, just get them out in the back. And can you go forward, not worry about how I feel and stuff? And like, are you a man that is going to get shit done and going to do stuff and be reliable? Boom, we can be friends. We can hang out. And now when I started surrounding myself with people who are like that, Like, we were talking about that. Like, this is the final point of, like, you meet even men in this space or in any career who are like, I want to make it. And then the opportunity comes that requires some cost to go make it. And then they don't do it. It's like, you're not cut out for this now. Maybe you will be, but you're not going to make it because you're not willing to do what it takes. You don't have it right now. And it's not a mean thing. It's not pretentious. It's just going, until you're willing to sacrifice and give up the cost. Like, I always ask them, people say, should I get vaccinated? Should I get this? All I ask them the question of, how important is it for you to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated?
That's why right-wing men are always confident and insecure men are always left-wing, invariably. Mm-hmm. Because it's not that they, like, want equality or whatever. It's they're insecure. They don't want to have to compete against people who are confident. So they'd rather have an equal outcome. And whereas people who are confident are like, I'll compete. I don't care. I'm confident right. in my ability to do that. And that's why, too, the leftist streamers like Hassan Piker, who it turns out the guy makes like $3 million a year or whatever. It's like he doesn't advocate for equality because he like really wants that. Because, look, now when he has it, is he restructuring his company as a cooperative? Is he paying everybody equally? Of course he's not, because now he's made it. So he's like, oh, I don't need that anymore. Screw you guys. Same thing with Vosh, another millionaire. He pays his people as contractors so he doesn't have to pay them equally. He doesn't structure it as a cooperative like they advocate for so evangelically, because they don't actually believe in that. They're
is he a millionaire?
Oh, easily.
But
easily.
You know, but you know, there's also the point about confidence.
He's also a pedophile and fat and gay and retarded.
Pedophile apologist, yeah. The thing about confidence, right? Confidence isn't necessarily having all the answers, right? It's about being, it's about not feeling stupid when you don't have the answers, right? Or, you
exactly.
know, it's like, I'm not going to be so confident that I think I can go like, you know, beat anybody, or I have bigger muscles than everybody else. Somebody else is like, I have bigger muscles than you. It's like, yeah, so you do. Like, okay, is that going to affect me? It's like you have to be able to, you know, have confidence, which means being okay with being
to compete
kind of
where you can
sometimes.
Too. And that's my final point. Is like with being a man, is like it's like I have bigger muscles than you. Cool, man. I wasn't going to join a strongman competition and challenge you on deadlifting. That's cool, man. That's not where I'm fighting. So I appreciate that. I'm glad you do, because I think that's really cool of you, but that's just clearly not where I'm at. So
I have bigger muscles than you. Well, I have a smaller dick than you. Checkmate.
Yeah. Have you ever had a dick the size of a baby carrot? Welcome to my life.
Have you heard the tale of Elmi Crum?
Anyway, obviously, I love it. Harrison Smith, American Journal. You can find on band.video or Infowars.com.
Weekdays. 8 to 11 a.m. every day, live show. So if any,
very nice.
If any of your audience wants to call in and say what's up, we just come on in. Just give us a call.
You can call in?
Just give us a call, yeah.
That's really cool.
It's a call-in
we got to figure that out. Anyway, also, too, you can follow him on Twitter, Instagram, the different links, or wherever else. I don't know where it is. And John Doyle from Heckoff Comedy, johndoyle.com, correct?
Correct. I'm going to need some ad hoc confetti because I did notice I didn't get some in the beginning.
That's a shame.
There you go. You can follow him everywhere where you can follow him that he's not banned. And of course, Savannah Hernandez, the lovely Rapid Fire. How is it going? How's Rapid Fire going?
It's going. It's going. I've been a little bit burned out this week, but the best part about this show is that if my show is just like losing steam, I'm like, yeah, just go watch our episode on Slightly Offensive. So there we go.
Yeah. And it's good too, because obviously what's funny about her show is that we don't cover like 60% of what I make. I can make her delay the show like 30 minutes to put stuff in that we don't ever talk about. But then she has extra stuff that she can talk about too. And so it's kind of like, it's kind of like vice versa. But like, if you want to hear more of Sav's opinions on things that we didn't talk about, you can go check her out there as well. We hope to see her grow. And you can follow me on all social media that you can follow me. The links are in the description. Anyway, as we close, don't forget to leave a 5-star review of this podcast at Apple Podcasts. We are growing. We are the grower gang. You know what it is. If you leave a 5-star review, it might get read on the show. And Savannah picks them. I don't. And I read them live before ever reading them. We have two here. We have one from Tyler Yawn. That says, racist! Okay, just kidding. Love you guys. Every time I listen, I get a new perspective and good role models to look up to. You guys are helping me navigate the craziness of high school. Keep up the good work. Straight white male.
Good Lord.
So,
can you imagine being in high school right now?
Imagine the 63% of high schoolers I just read are LGBTQ.
There is nothing I would like more than to go back to high school for a day knowing what I know now. Like, I was red-pilled, but like, oh, I was not as based. There's a difference.
I was watching a lot of Alex Jones in high school.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Alex Jones. I remember people would be like, yo, they'd be like, did you see the new Even Stevens? And I'd be like, bro, do you know that FEMA is gathering cattle cars and they have chains in them? And everyone would be like, what the f***?
That's what I told Alex about? When I met him and I had him sign the copy of 9/11 Was an Inside Job, which is the only book he's ever written. I was like, hey, when I was in 10th grade honors English, we had to give a book presentation on a book of our choice. And I chose this book. And he was like, that's great to hear, brother. I'm happy about that.
Yeah. When you grow up watching Alex Jones from like, you know, middle school, you have a whole different perspective.
The Obama deception really is what red pilled
that's,
me.
That's the
Obama deception
take.
Red pilled
when
me.
They're like, there's a pipeline. Alex Jones is radicalizing people. And the right's like, no, he's not. Freedom of thought in the marketplace of ideas. Yeah, no, the pipeline is real and you can't do a thing about it. Band.video.
Yeah,
the pipeline is a water slide. Yeah. We're all having a blast.
Having more Savannah, fun than you.
Yeah. Savannah went from not knowing the three branches of government to being like, I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah, not wearing my seatbelt and here we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Review number two is a spicy Dave can't foil the Doyle.
So you can't. Many have tried, none have accomplished.
Elijah Schaefer and John Doyle are really the crew that makes me laugh and think about everything. John is my biggest ideological influence and one of the only men I look up to as a young adult. Elijah's truth makes my parents think I'm a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. Good. That's actually very nice. Could not ask for a better show. And that was the key thing too. You know, people keep saying like, oh, since we've had Alex on, people are like, oh, I didn't know like Alex and Elijah were friends or whatever. Like that makes sense. Like Elijah becoming more like Alex. I'm like, that's the also the trick is since he got me started, it's not like I've started becoming more like Alex. That's how we started. Like, it wasn't just like, it's like someone being like, oh, you're starting to look more like your dad. You're like, as compared to what? Like, right. I've always been me and I've always been the same baby. I'm just getting older. It's like, yeah, what you're seeing is we are all becoming more like Alex Jones because we're just getting older. You can always, you never be him because you can never catch up to him because he'll always be older than us. But I hope to be there one day too. I hope to be bowing to Susan Wojcicki and getting baptized in Pfizer vaccines. Like, I want to be there.
I want to be in a Senate hearing where they're talking about censoring me, but I'm not allowed to speak. That is just the ultimate Alex Jones moment to me.
I love it. We love it. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much again for watching. Don't forget to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to become an official SOB of this show. And to get everything that you need. If you become a member, you get access to all this content. Sometimes content is cut out of the show. Sometimes there's exclusive content, et cetera, that you can access there. You can also access my new show there and banned episodes that have already had like two of them already. Have a great rest of the week and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.